بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا أمة بعد أمته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا ضربتم في سبيل الله فتبينوا ولا تقولوا لمن ألقى إليكم السلام لست مؤمنا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إياكم الظن فإن الظن أكذب الحديث أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahluh. Most respected honorable ulama and kiram, hufaz of the Quran, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It takes years to build a bridge, but it'll take a moment to destroy and to bring it down to smithereens. Similar our relationships in this earthly life, at times it takes a lengthy period, sometimes years, at times a lifetime, to build a relationship, an association with a person. But it will only take a moment to break that relationship. Few factors that will break relationships, the life that we are leading, is that of relationship. A person is a father to his son, and he is a son to his father. We have brothers, we have siblings, brothers, sisters, uncles, various relationships each one of us enjoys in this earthly life. Few things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke, warned, had forewarned each one of us that if we are going to involve ourselves in these things, they are simple to abstain from. They may seem to be very small, insignificant, but the repercussions can be very far-reaching. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an incident that took place in Madina Munawwara, there was a slave girl. Aisha radiallahu anha is the narrator of the hadith that appears in Sahih al-Bukhari. She says, "Anna walidatan kanat sawda li hayyim min al-Arab." There was a slave girl that belonged to a people. Fa'a'taquha. Because of her service, they freed her. They appreciated her service, so they freed her, emancipated her. So she reciprocated that favor and stuck with them after her freedom. And she says, come what may, I want to be at your service, although I am free and I'm at liberty now to go back home. But I still want to serve you people. So she stayed with them. One day, this one of the daughters of the tribe had come out. And this daughter had a necklace, which was very pricey. When she comes, she sees the slave girl because of a very old relationship that they had enjoyed. So she came and she played with the slave girl who now is a free lady. For whatever reason it was, the slave girl says that the daughter took out the necklace and left it one side. It was beaded with some red pearls and rubies. There was a bird that was hovering the skies, had miscalculated that necklace to be a piece of flesh with fresh blood on it. So the bird flies down and picks up that necklace. In that interim, the family comes out, they see the daughter, and they are ready to take her back into the house. But they say, but where's your necklace? The daughter cannot speak. So, fattahamuni. This lady says, the people accused me. They had accused me of being the rogue and the thief of that necklace. So how do I explain to you that I'm not the one responsible for the theft? I don't have a clue about it. Fattahamuni. They say, no, you are the culprit, definitely. She says, I am not. Whatever the case, in that discussion, the bird drops the necklace at a distance away from where they were discussing and speaking. So when she sees it, the slave girl says that that necklace, هَذَا أَلَّذِي إِتَّهَمْتُمُونِي بِهِ, is that the necklace you're accusing me about? Is that the one? So they say, sorry, yes, that's the one. Anyway, they took the necklace. But she was so betrayed with her people. They were kuffar, they were not Muslim. She felt so deceived, betrayed, bitten, that she said, listen, enough is enough with you people. Now I really want to carry on in my own life. So she travels, she comes to Madina Munawwara, فَأَسْلَمَتْ, she becomes a Muslim. Very often she would sit with Aisha radiallahu anha. So Aisha radiallahu anha, in that, whenever she sat with Aisha radiallahu anha, this slave girl, who now is this free lady, would say, وَيَوْمَ الْوِحَاشِ مِنْ أَعَاجِبِ رَبِّنَا أَلَا إِنَّهُ مِنْ بَلْدَةِ الْكُفْرِ أَنْجَانِي. And the day of the necklace is a marvelous incident in my life. It led to Allah saving me from kufr and bringing me to the light of Iman. So Aisha says, but what happened? What happened? She says that my people who I thought I would be really truthful and I'll serve them, I'll give them my life and my energies because they emancipated and freed me. I thought I'll do for them to the end of my life. But they suspected me, that broke that relationship. But there was wisdom. Allah brought me to Iman and to Islam. I became a Muslim now. Now I became a Muslim. Itban bin Malik radiallahu anhu, a sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was an imam of his locality on the outskirts of Madina Munawwara. Annahu min ashabi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa huwa mimman shahida badran. He was a sahabi that was a Badri sahabi, participated in Badr. Amazing, what an incident. So he says, وَقَدْ أَنْكَرْتُ بَصَرِي. Through age, I had lost strength in my vision. I was becoming very weak in my sight, my vision. So I came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I said, Ya Rasulallah, وَدِدْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَنَّكَ تَأْتِينِي فَتُصَلِّي فِي بَيْتِي. Can you please come to my house and perform salah? But the lesson is, he's asking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform salah in his house. I'm very weak in my sight. Sometimes because of heavy rainfall, there's a rivulet or there is a water stream that flows between my house and the masjid. I cannot reach to the masjid. So for that reason, I'm excused. I perform salah at home. But I want you to come to my house. You select a portion or a part of my house. You perform 2 rakats of salah. That place will have some barakat, inshallah. When I am excused, I'll perform salah in that corner. So Nabi Sam says, no problem. Sa'afalu, inshallah. Definitely I'm gonna come. Eventually Nabi Sam pitches up. He comes to the house of Itban bin Malik radiallahu anhu. Now the lesson, tabarruk bi asari salihin. That he wants the barakah of the pious. So he says, Ya Rasulallah, what better barakah than you coming to my house? So Nabi Sam comes to the house. Abu Bakr, Umar and Sahaba radiallahu anhum accompany him. When he comes, he says, O Malik, Aina tuhibbu an usalli? Where do you want me to perform the salah? You wanted some barakah of mine? So he says, there's that portion in this place. So Nabi Sam goes, he performs 2 rakats of salah. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum also performed. He turned around. Nabi Sam is ready to leave. Itban bin Malik radiallahu anhum says, no, hold on, Ya Rasulallah. I've got some meals, some finger bites, we would say, prepared. So Nabi Sam said, no problem. Sahaba come. So Sahaba sat down. They all ate with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then one person in that meeting, while they were sitting and eating, one Sahabi, he asked, Aina Malik ibn Dukhayshin? Some say Malik bin Dukhshun. Where is the Sahabi Malik bin Dukhshun? He lives in this vicinity. I don't see him. So one person blurted out. Immediately he said, ذَلِكَ munafiq, لَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَ. That person is a munafiq. He's a hypocrite. He doesn't love Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't say that. لا تقول ذلك. Don't say that. أَلَا تَرَاهُ قَدْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Didn't you hear him reciting the kalima? He said, Ya Rasulallah, listen, let's speak the truth, let's come to reality. He's a person, we see him. We see نَرَى وَجْهَهُ وَنَصِيحَتَهُ إِلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ.
He rubs shoulders, he associates with the munafiqeen and hypocrite. He's one amongst them. He's one amongst them, he's a munafiq. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when Masjid al-Dirar was built by the munafiqeen, who did I commission, who did I ask to go and destroy it? One of them was this sahabi. The sahabi Malik bin Dukhayshin. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warns the sahaba radiallahu anhum. He warns them and he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ حَرَّمَ النَّارَ عَلَى مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Allah has made the Jahannam haram on that person who has recited the kalima. He has recited the kalima. You have no authority. You have no reason to doubt his iman. He is a Muslim. Don't call him a munafiq. Don't ever call him. But the problem, we will accuse, we will judge people when we speak 19 to the dozen. When we speak more than is required of us, then ulti comes out. Then the najasa and the impurity would come out from that mouth. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a personality who spoke when necessary, who spoke when he was spoken to. Usama radiallahu anhu, hadith appears in Sunan of Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah. Usama radiallahu anhu, a very high profile sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we learn and we take cue from the lessons and the life of sahaba radiallahu anhum. He says, Ba'athana Rasulullah sam sariya. Nabi sam sent us as a delegation in a certain direction, ilal huraqat. When we come to this area, the enemy, فَنَذِرُ بِنَا. They were tipped off of our advancement and coming in their direction, فَهَرَبُوا. They fled. To evade capture, they all had run away. But there was one person, فَأَدْرَكْنَا رَجُلًا. One of them, we managed to surround him. فَلَمَّا غَشِينَاهُ. When he was surrounded from all four corners, and he saw that we are about to capture him, he immediately recited, La ilaha illallah, I believe in Allah. Sahaba radiallahu anhum doubted. Now what do they do? One sahabi goes forward and he severs the head of this person from his neck. So the other sahaba say, but listen, I don't think so, we were allowed to do that. So he say, okay, let's go to Nabi Sallam, he'll adjudicate. Leave it to him. So they come to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is what transpired. The person recited the kalima and we still killed him. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Man laka bila ilaha illallah yawm al qiyamah. Who is going to side with you against his kalima on the day of qiyamah? The kalima is going to fight against you. How are you going to fight the case against the kalima on the day of qiyamah? Who's going to be on your side? Who's going to assist you? It's not me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, not me. Who's going to fight with you? So he tells Nabi Sallam, Inna man qalaha makhafata silah. He recited kalima, he was scared of dying. He knew he's gonna get killed, his blood will be spilt. So he recited for that reason. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Afala shaqaqta an qalbihi hatta ta'lam amin ajli dhalik qalaha amla. Why didn't you do an open heart surgery? Split it open, go into his heart and see whether he recited the kalima out of fear or whether he was genuine in reciting that kalima. Why didn't you do that? Then Nabi Sam says, O Usama, man laka bila ilaha illallah yawm al-qiyamah. Who's gonna fight that case against the kalima? Kalima is gonna argue and say, oh my Allah, I was a believer in him and he killed me. Who's gonna help you? Who's gonna help you? Nabi Sallam recited and he reiterated this point so much. Man laka bila ilaha illallah. Man laka bila ilaha illallah. Usama radiallahu anhu says, I wish I only became a Muslim today. Such a folly, such a mistake. Now how am I going to stand in front of Allah? What am I going to say? So the lesson, that don't judge anyone, and when you are suspicious of anyone, don't ever act on that suspicion. Don't ever act on your suspicion. That is not divine knowledge. That is not certain. Remember, the eyes that Allah gave you is one avenue of grasping knowledge. What you see may not be the reality. What you see may not be the reality. That's why Allah has even given us ears, that you tap the person, brother, this is what I heard, is it true? This is what I have seen. Is there reality and truth in it? Find out. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you travel the length and the breadth of the earth, لَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا. Don't ever tell a person who makes salam to you, you're not a Muslim. You just want some money, you begging. You know we give Muslims money, you begging you. You're not a Muslim. You came to steal shoes, you're not a Muslim. Speak the truth. Never say that. You never know. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ السُّدُورِ. What's in the heart of the person, only Allah knows. We see what's the zahir and the apparent. Allah sees beyond and He knows what's in our hearts. Don't ever judge someone by what you see. Two people, they were friends. In the time of Banu Israel, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, أَحَدُهُمَا يُذْنِبْ وَالْآخَرُ مُجْتَهِدٌ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ. One person was the sinner of the time. The other person, مُجْتَهِدٌ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ, Allama, he was a sheikh, he was very pious. And they were very close in their relationship. So when the pious saw his friend committing sin, he would tell him, Aqsir, oh my brother, please pull the reins. Stop, halt, press brakes, you're sinning too often. Stop. One day his brother was sinning, and he told him, enough is enough, let's stop this life. So the sinner tells his pious friend, خَلِّنِي وَرَبِّي, you leave me and my Allah. You leave me and my Allah. So the pious person responds and he says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ لَكَ. Allah will never forgive you. Allah will never forgive you. Two of them passed away, standing in front of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the pious person, أَوَ كُنْتَ بِعَالِمًا أَوْ كُنْتَ عَلَى مَا فِي يَدِي قَادِرًا. You mean you knew what I was supposed to decide? You knew what's written in Lawhul Mahfuz? You knew what would be my decision that you told him that I will not forgive him? For that, go to Jahannam. For that, for only that, you go to Jahannam. And the person who is the sinner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that I have forgiven you, go into Jannah. I have forgiven you, you go into Jannah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, by Allah's qasam, this pious person, تَكَلَّمَ بِكَلِمَةٍ, one wrong utterance, أَوْ بَقَتْ دُنْيَاهُ وَآخِرَةٍ, costed the loss of this world and the next. He was a loser in this world and in akhirat for one wrong utterance, one folly, one mistake. Nikah is to take place. So the lesson, control our tongue. Allah gave that authority of talaq to the husband. Why? Because he's got the power to control it. He's supposed to have controlled it. Be careful. Hold that tongue. Don't say it. Get someone to arbitrate. Go to some alim. Let someone hear the entire story out and let someone decide. But don't ever use the tongue in talaq. Get to an alim. Find out. Get help. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ مَظَّنْ. Be careful of suspicion. And this is the problem in most of our relationships. Whether it be in our homes, with our wives, whether it be with employee, employer, friends, neighbors, whatever it is. In a marital relationship, let's take a typical example, nikah to take place, that the husband is upset. Wife comes, but I mean, darling, why are you so upset? I mean, you knew I'm busy today, you knew. But why didn't you do this? But why didn't you tell me? But you know, you ought to have done it. So too much of thinking for the next person. Find out, speak out. What's the reality? Something is troubling you, go. Ask the person, excuse me, this is what I require. This is what I need. Unfortunately, because of lack of communication, there's a lot of problems, that a lot of breakages in relationships. Lack of communication. Imam Shafi rahimullah says, لِسَانُكَ لَا تَذْكُرْ بِهِ عَوْرَةً. Oh insan, you got one tongue. When you see the fault of a person, don't mention it. وَكُلُّكَ عَوْرَاتْ وَلِلنَّاسِ أَلْسُنْ. Because you are full of faults, you've got one tongue. People have many tongues. وَعَيْنُكَ إِنْ أَبْدَتْ إِلَيْكَ مَعَيِّبًا. If your eyes expose to you the faults of people, فَسُنْهَا, please, contain, preserve, don't expose that fault, and tell your eyes, يَا عَيْنُ لِلنَّاسِ أَعْيُنُ. You've only got one pair. The people got many pairs. What you see, people can see more than that in yourself. Don't judge any person until you're not perfect. Don't judge any person until and unless you are not perfect. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, one incident. Inshallah we'll close off. One incident. Talha bin Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. He's Sahabi. So he was very rich. So his wife came to him and told him, listen, your friends are the worst bunch of friends I ever saw. So Talha, he asked his wife, but walima dhak, what's the reason? So the wife says, إِذَا اخْتَنَيْتْ لَزِمُوكْ وَإِذَا افْتَقَرْتْ تَرَكُوكْ. When you're rich, lot of friends around you. But when you're poor, they desert you. So the husband says, وَاللَّهِ هَذَا مِنْ أَخْلَاقِهِمْ. Wallahi, oh my wife, I tell you, that's the akhlaq. What you mean akhlaq? When you're rich, they come. When you're poor, they desert you. He says, Alhamdulillah, my friends got some aqal. They come to me for help when I got money. They don't come to me when I don't have money. That's akhlaq. So have a good thought. How about having good thoughts for our Muslim brothers? Rather than having a bad thought. First thing that comes to our mind is a bad thought. Because the heart is incorrect. The heart is filthy. Allah give all of us the tawfiq, that ability that we clean and cleanse our hearts and make an effort. Wa akhir dawana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.